One caravan's on the mountains, one caravan's from the sea, one caravan's made the sun and the moon, every bird, every flower, every tree. One caravan's from the valleys, the ocean, the rivers, and the sand. Those hands are so strong, so when life goes wrong, put your faith into one caravan. One caravan heals the sick. One pair of hands raise the dead. One pair of hands calm the raging storm. And thousands of people were fed. One pair of hands said, I love you. And those hands were nailed to a tree. Those hands are so strong, so when life goes wrong, put your faith into one pair of hands. Those hands are so strong, so when
for you tonight, call a friend and neighbor and tell them that Pastor Buddy with the Shepherd's Call is on the air tonight around the world on WWRB 2.390. We're so glad to have you in here. Tonight, we're going to tell you what's going on in the Middle East. The great uprising, the distress among the nations, wars and rumors of wars, fulfillment. Ladies and gentlemen, we're just about ready to have the final enactment before the time of the end, pressing our way very quickly. Sons of Abraham, who are they? You've got to understand who the sons of Abraham are, to know what's going on and what's provoking all of the problems in the world. Only a mind of the Creator could create this scenario, call it before it ever starts, detail it in prophetic utterance at the time of the end, and bring it forth and set it before those who have eyes to see and ears to hear. The Bible says that people will be eating and drinking and being merry. So don't think that you could be in trouble in the end time before the end time comes. You could be eating, you could be drinking, and you could be making merry. You could be rejoicing. You know, it's nice to see the enemy, the ones we call the enemy, blown up by big airplanes that streak through the sky. It's nice to get your television and get you a bowl of pretzels and open you up a couple of beers and enjoy the carnage that you see on the highways of the Middle East. We endured it in the 90s. When Bush invaded Iraq, we saw it in Afghanistan. We have seen it in different areas. We saw it in the 50s with the state of Israel involved, the state of Egypt, and believe it or not, the state of Ethiopia and Libya. They're mentioned in those prophecies. We're going to talk about it tonight. Let me give you a discourse of the, as we start this series, I'm going to try to do a series to bring you up to date so you won't be without understanding of the things that Yahweh wants you to understand. It's impossible to understand the present Middle East without a knowledge of the three great religions that spring from that area. We're talking about Judaism. We're talking about Christianity. And we're talking about Islam. These three faiths all trace their spiritual roots back to the same individual, Abraham. So you've got to understand Abraham. You've got to understand some of the prophetic prophecies that were directed to him by the covenant maker. He made several covenants with Abraham, and you have to have an understanding of these three religions that sprang from these covenants. Each one of these believing that they're right, each one warring, each one's sword against his brother. And so then we got to understand the three religions, Moses, the Messiah, Mohammed, were all direct descendants of Abraham. Abraham was born in Mesopotamia in a city of Ur. He was the son of Terah, a descendant of Shem. That's very important for you to remember. He was a son of Noah, born almost 4,000 years in the past. And Abraham's impact on the Middle East is still with us to this day. As a descendant of Noah's son Shem, Abraham and his descendants were called Semitic. They were a Semitic tribe. In Genesis chapter 11, it explains when we see that Shem's great-grandson, Eber, stated in verse 14, was a direct ancestor of Abraham. And it's from Eber that the term Hebrew comes. Who are the Hebrews? Who are the Muslims, and who are the Christians? Now, Abraham was called the father of the faithful in Romans chapter 4:11. Abraham obeyed God's instruction. That's more than people are doing today. Even his own seed are in direct conflict with Yahweh's covenant. When they disobey Yahweh, they have trouble with those three religions. That's Christianity, Judaism, and the Islamic few that believe in Islam. Now, that's a religion that a lot of Christians that don't know anything about it. These, I'm going to describe their nature just in a minute, and you'll see why that they are like they are. So when you see these Libyans, believe it or not, they're descendants of the Arab race, which brought in, if you will, Muslim belief systems, and it's in direct conflict to Judaism and Christianity. So these three religions are fighting, warring That's why we're warring today. That's why we're bombing the sons of the Arab. Now, if he's the father of the faithful, Stephen mentioned Abraham in the book of Acts as he was being killed. He was called the devout first martyr of the Christian era when he stated, "The God of glory appeared to our father, Abraham, when he was in Mesopotamia." Now, we could just rightfully say, if we are possibly of the faith of these religions, we could possibly say that Abraham is our father. When he dwelt in the land of Mesopotamia, Yahweh said to Abraham, "Get out of your country, away from your relatives, and come to a land that I will show you." Book of Acts, chapter 7. Now, in Ur and Haran were the cities in Mesopotamia, which refers to the area between the Euphrates and the Tigris. You've heard those words for the last 7 or 8 years in Iraq. Haran was a natural stopping off point for Abraham and Sarah. That's almost unbelievable to think that 4,000 years ago in this same area that our father Abraham and his beautiful young bride, Sarah, were sent out through a covenant to a new land, a significant turning point in the history of the region and still consequential for us in this day. Now, if you read in the book of Genesis chapter 12, following the death of Abraham's father, Terah, again, notice the example of unquestioning obedience when Yahweh said to Abraham, "This being your original name, which was later expanded to Abraham," his name was Abram, "get out of your country and from your family and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation." Now, listen to that. "I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you shall be a blessing." And so Abraham departed as Yahweh had spoken unto him. And in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8, it indicates that Abraham was a man of faith, and he went out not knowing where he was going. He didn't really understand the impact of his seed. Today, the three major religions, all coming from Abraham, our father, each one could express that their father is Abraham. The Jews expressed it to the Messiah when they questioned him and he questioned them about who they were. But notice, he interjected in 844, he said to these who claim to be Jews, "Your father is the devil, and the works of your father he will do." How did the devil get involved with the seed called the Jews? Well, that's part of the mystery of our series that we will cover in time, probably tomorrow night. On the late call, I'll probably try to get into that segment of the great mystery of how that these people who claim to be Jews were out of the synagogue or out of the seed of Satan. It's amazing. Part of this deception is how that these warring seeds, some of them are not true. They are imposters, parading as God's chosen people. On arriving in the land that Abraham was supposed to go to and to get the promise that he would give this land to his descendants, as it's stated again in the covenant contract, Genesis 12, verse 7. And Yahweh said to Abraham, lift up your eyes now and look from the place where you are. Look northward, look southward, look eastward, and look westward. For all the land which you see, I will give you and your descendants forever. Genesis 13 reaffirms that Yahweh added, and I will make your descendants, that's very important now, I will make your descendants as the dust of the earth, so that if a man could number the dust of the earth, then your descendants also could be numbered, as it's recorded in verse 16. Yahweh later changed Abram's name to Abraham, meaning that his earlier name meant high and exalted father. Yahweh renamed him when Abraham means father of a multitude, saying, I will make you exceedingly great and fruitful, and I will make nations of you. Listen to this now. And kings shall come from you, verse 6. Kings, great multitude, innumerable, all from one man's genetics. All of these three nations, or all of these three religions, turned into three religions. The Bible talks about them in the book of Revelation. I'll explain more about that later in the series of how that the Bible saw these three spirits that fostered and brought in these religions as unclean spirits. Now, how could Yahweh make a covenant oath and out of that would issue a term in the end time? Here we are, 4,000 plus years later. Notice this. At the time that these prophecies would have seemed ironic to Abraham, for his wife, Sarah, the beautiful woman that he chose and was deeply in love with, her infertility was to be very significant in the development of the Middle East. When you go there today, when you see these kings in Jordan, kings in Saudi Arabia, kingships in other nations, don't you know, ladies and gentlemen, that it is, if you will, a time of trouble such as Yahweh has indicated that never was and never will be from that time forward until now. We are in a time of trouble, trust me. And I'm going to show you just exactly who is responsible for the trouble. So we went into Hagar. Now, who is Hagar? She was Sarah's, actually, she was Sarah's handmaiden. Sarah being barren, and Yahweh promised in Abraham in Genesis 15 that he would have an heir, one who will come from your own body. Sarah told Abraham, since I can't conceive, take the Egyptian handmaid, Hagar, and produce a child by her. Now here's our father fixing to lay with an Egyptian. Now he's going to bring into this world a son. And this son is going to produce hundreds of thousands and millions from his own loins. He's going to establish the nucleus of the Islamic religion, monotheistic and that they worship one God. They call him Allah. The word Allah in Arabic is God. One God. There's no conflict in religion of the Jews, monotheistic. They believe in one God. And the Christians, they believe in one God. The only problem is, each one of these religions has a name for that God. Two-thirds of these people are deceived. How could that happen? Because their eyes are blinded to promote this disturbance. The Bible says that in the last days, people will run to and fro, and much knowledge shall be increased. Here is the offspring from the handmaiden, Hagar. And Abraham took her, and from her came Ishmael. And when she conceived, and when she saw, when we're talking about Sarah, that she had conceived, Sarah became despised in her eyes, Genesis 16:4. The relationship between Sarah and Hagar quickly deteriorated, and Hagar fled from the compound. Notice, here we are. Yahweh's done started the disturbance. Did you know that most trouble comes from family? After that Hagar was cast out, because Sarah had cast out the bondwoman, Abraham reluctantly obeyed because Yahweh instructed him to do so. Now remember, Yahweh had a plan. This divine message was given to Hagar, telling her to return. The message reassured her that her son would have many descendants. But the descendants that would be evident throughout their history would be marked. I will increase your descendants, that they will be too numerous to count. You are now with child, and you will have a son. You shall name him Ishmael, which means God hears. For Yahweh hath heard your misery. He will be a wild donkey of a man. Listen to this prophecy. His hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand will be against him. He will live in hostility toward all his brothers. Verse 10 and 12. And once this was placed into the prophecy, Hagar's descendants are very significant because many of today's Arabs are Ishmaelites, a large portion of them. It's true now, they have mixed with other bloods in the area. Most of them, 90% of Ishmael's descendants are Arabs. They descended from Ishmael. Now, Ishmael's father was Abraham. Mohammed, the founder of the Prophet of Islam, was descended from Kedar, one of the 12 sons of Ishmael. Today, 22 nations in the Middle East and North Africa are Arab nations, most of whose people are adherents and swear by Islam. They have a covenant to die. It's an honor. That's where the fulfillment of the prophecy that the sword will be in the house of Ishmael forever. A prophetic prophecy through Isaac, later on to come. And here comes the trouble. An additional 35 countries are members of the Islamic Conference. Most of them have Islamic governments. Their people are of a nature that is so confusing and conflicting to the religions of the other two, which is Judaism and Christianity. Before Ishmael's descendants arrived in the area, the term Arab was used to denote the peoples of the Arabian Peninsula. With the spread of Islam, Arabs and the Arabic language today compasses a vast region and is very influential on this son of Abraham. Now, the divine prophetic words spoken to Hagar are still in effect and very significant today. These people are prophetic. There's a prophecy that Ishmael will be a wild man. It was that the wild beast of the desert, they were like the wild beast. They were wild. They preferred prey, hunting. The prophecy is a reference to how Ishmael's descendants would live the lifestyle of the wild donkey, leading a free and noble existence in the desert. His hand will be against everyone, and everyone's hand against him. He refers to the independent lifestyle of Ishmael's descendants through the prophecy of the angel that spoke to their mother Hagar. They have deep roots. They will live in hostility towards all of the brothers. It's a reference to the enemy and the historically existed strife among the Arabs and between those of other sons of Abraham, which is very, very interesting. Here now, 14 years later, comes Yahweh's blessing to Abraham with another son, this time by a different wife. He told them to name their son Isaac, meaning the sons of laughter, for the incredulous reaction they had when they would have a son. Sarah laughed. She was advanced in age, and it tickled her when she heard Yahweh outside. She was inside the tent with her ear probably listening. And when Yahweh gave her the prophecy, she laughed and said, "Will I find joy or pleasure at my old age?" His name was Isaac. From Isaac and from Ishmael, we have descendants innumerable. Now the child Isaac grew, and when he was weaned, Abraham made a great feast. And Isaac was weaned, and Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, scoffing. Therefore, she said to Abraham, "Cast out this bondwoman." You see the deep-seated hostility? This is genetically born into the sons of the bondwoman from the Egyptian handmaiden. He had no inheritance. It displeased Abraham, who had grown to love Ishmael. But Yahweh agreed, "Whatever Sarah has said to you, listen to her voice, for in Isaac your seed shall be called." And Yahweh further assured Abraham, "Yet I will make a nation of the son of a bondwoman. Don't worry about it. because he is your seed. So Yahweh was with the lad, Ishmael, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness. And so then, these long custom habits of Ishmael bred into their very being. They hated Isaac. After 14 years as the only child, Isaac's arrival fundamentally changed Ishmael's relationship with his father. The father had to watch as Ishmael and his mother went over the sandy plains in a direction and was forgotten. Today, we are still feeling the envy and the rivalry toward this half-brother. The feelings that were affected are genetically, ladies and gentlemen, with the two covenants. Isaac has a covenant, and Ishmael has a covenant. And they are doing just exactly what Yahweh said they would do. Now, let's go to Isaac's sons. Isaac had two sons, Jacob and Esau, twins by his wife Rebekah. And even before they were born, the children struggled together within her womb. Genesis chapter 25, verse 22. Yahweh explained to her when she inquired, two nations or two different seeds are in your womb. Here's trouble. Two peoples shall be separated from your body. One people shall be stronger than the other, and the older shall serve the younger. Verse 23. Both brothers were to father great nations, which was a continuous a blessing from God to Abraham's grandsons, fulfilling the covenant promise of Genesis chapter 12 and in chapter 15. Normally, the firstborn is going to receive the birthright. But here, it was different. The Bible records that Esau sold his birthright to Jacob for a bowl of beans. Verses 29 through 34. It showed how little it meant to him. Sometimes, later, Jacob tricked his father into giving him the birthright that he'd already purchased. This is in chapter 27 of Genesis. For this, Esau hated Jacob. More hostility, if you will. Again, the consequences of this are with us even today. Do you see the nature that we've got? The descendants of Esau, called Edom, Genesis 25, verse 30, intermarried with Ishmael's descendants. We know that that displeased Jacob. It displeased Rachel. And the bitterness and the resentment that it stirred up against Jacob's descendants intensified through the centuries as Esau's grandson, Amalek, in Genesis 36, was the father of the Amalekites, who became bitter foes of the descendants of Jacob. And so, therefore, wars and generations of wars followed. The animosity and the hatred was genetically brought about deliberately, it seems, by Yahweh. Now, there is a prophecy about Amalek foretold endless war between them. From generation to generation, it was expressed in Exodus chapter 17 that many of the Palestinians are largely the descendants of the Amalekites. Now, if you notice those words of the prophecies that there will be animosity, you got to understand that in the Middle East, all these are centuries of genetic conflicts between the three seeds. We have the seed of the Jews, called Jews. We have Christianity, the descendants of Shem, into the lost sheep of the house of Israel. We're over there right now, over the territory of the Middle East. And we are bombing these same sons that descended from Ishmael. We have the Jews, or those who say they are Jews, in Israel. They are encouraging these times because it's in their favor for the Christians to support the Jews who say they are not evil, but Christ cried out against them and said, "Your father is the devil." Now, is there any of the Jews in relationship to being Yahweh's people? Yes, they are. How many? Very few. Those people that came from eastern Poland and the slopes of the Khazars on the eastern slopes of Russia, these are imposters. They adopted Judaism in the 8th century, and they proceeded to be known as God's chosen people because they practiced the religion of the Jews. Now, we know in the book of Jeremiah, in chapter 23 and 24, that those who were out of the house of Judah, who were taken into captivity in Babylon, going right back to the place where Abraham and Sarah and their offspring lived in this area of Babylon or Mesopotamia, Iraq, Iran, and these areas playing an important part in the conflicts that we've got going on today. These conflicts will never end until Yahweh comes and chooses this day who will be his people. We know that we have a form of godliness, but the end is not going to be like most people think. When Islam arose, we have what is not very much expressed. We have all the sons of Abraham fighting. We have all of the sons of the Arab Confederation. In Psalms 83, it contains a very, very important prophecy of many Middle Eastern nations that appears to be unfulfilled as of yet, and to possibly tie in with end-time events. It foretells of a confederation of Arab nations that are determined to eliminate those in Israel who came in 1948 and occupied the land. The Palestinians chiefly gave up their homes and their possessions as they were moved out, their homes were bulldozed down. There's been continuously conflicts. We're still seeing it. And in the final analysis in the Middle East, we're going to have a time of trouble because this form of a confederacy that the tents of Edom and the Ishmaelites, they will rise up against these who call themselves Jews, and these three great offsprings who claim the one God. Here's the difference. Two-thirds of those who are Christian don't know the name of the Hebrew God, of those that descended from their father Heber. They don't know his name. They've been given a false name. So here comes three religions, like unclean spirit out of the mouth of the beast and the false prophet, gathering these three descendants to war against each other for the event that they could kill off these people, because in these oil-rich nations, the Arab League, they own great wealth. Someone is trying to promote war and stir up trouble in the Middle East to produce a conflict to end the conflict. The Ishmaelites, who are known to love warfare, with the sword being in Ishmael's house forever, it's not going to be taken away. I know a lot of people think that the Muslim or the Arab peoples or the sons of Ishmael will be defeated. They'll never be defeated. There's not enough bombs, laser-guided bombs, to destroy the covenant of Yahweh when he said, that sword will be in your house forever. You can bomb them today, and they will be hordes of Ishmaelites ready to die, because they have been taught that it's an honor. Christians value their soldiers, or at least they say they do. We've been used by the powers that I'm talking about, the ones behind the scenes. Referring to Genesis and the covenant in the 15th chapter, jumping from there to the book of Revelations, to a scripture where it says, I know them that say they are Jews and are not, but are out of the house or out of the sperm of Satan. Remember what Christ told the Jews who claim to be Jews? I know your father's Abraham. They said, Abraham is our father. Christ reiterated, I know Abraham's your father. But you seek to kill me. See, the war was still right there. He created the problem himself when he gave them a covenant and promised that Ishmael and his seed would be a wild man with the sword in his house forever. The tents of Edom. The Edomites have rose up as masters of wealth. The international bankers that control the whole world. Rothschild, which the word Rothschild means red shield. Red. Communism sprang from this belief system. Judaism invented a communism, a promise of liberty, while they themselves were servants of corruption. They ruled to rule over people. They amassed great fortunes by having a spirit of a promise that in the last days that Yahweh would grant, as Esau begged for a blessing from his father Isaac. He literally begged, Father, is there not a blessing for me? Listen to what Isaac reluctantly told him. The day will come that you will break the stranglehold from off your neck that Jacob has put around you. If you do the right thing, you play your cards right, in other words, you're going to be able to escape, and you're going to break those bonds, and you're going to rule over Jacob until the times of the Gentiles is fulfilled. That meaning has come to pass. Esau Edom now voluntarily is there as owners of all the wealth. 98% of all the wealth is controlled by 3% of the world's population. 90% of those are Edomites who are ruling over Jacob. Jacob is cast down. He's broken. He's blinded. He's in captivity. He's paying for his sins until the time of the Gentiles is fulfilled. We are now at a point where we're seeing the gathering of the eagles in the Middle East. There's plans right now for the invasion of Iran, for the destruction of Syria. These are Ishmaelites, for sure. This is to strangle or to control or to break off the yoke of the Ishmaelites as they war against Christianity. The battle is largely going to be with the Christians, the so-called Western army that are coming from afar. They're bringing their ships, their tanks, their artillery. We're bombing right now in Libya. Libya was a Ishmaelite territory. And Ishmael is the father of many peoples. And the one that you see holding up the AK-47s and firing them off into the air, like they enjoy being out with weapons, and they do, believe me. Hagar would be proud of her son. Esau would be proud of his sons as they have grown to amass the greatest wealth. 98% of the Edomites control 98% of the wealth in the world. They control large means and sums of money. Silver and gold is theirs. Rothschild made the statement, I care not who makes the laws. If I have the money. Money controls people. So they have moved in into America. They took over the sons of Ishmael, descended from Esau, who married into that seed. We have what is now a time of trouble, such as the world has never seen. The prophecy is astounding. It's so accurate. No human prophet could ever accurately have predicted the rise of these descendants that Yahweh declared and had them to fight like a family. Your foes will be those of your own household. The descendants of the house of Ishmael fighting the descendants of the house of Judah, the house of Judah fighting and warring with the sons of Joseph and those who are scattered abroad, known today as God's chosen people at large, meaning that they have lost their identity. But they still have the instincts of the Ten Commandments. They still want to obey Yahweh. They still want to serve Him. We go to church. We're very zealous of the laws of Yahweh. We want to please Him. We are very religious, but we have no understanding. My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Therefore, by rejecting knowledge, He said, I'll send preachers and I'll preach to you, but you won't dance. So those who are praying and those who are warning people of what's coming, these people are blind. They have eyes they can't see. They have ears they can't hear. Yahweh is going to deal with those in the last day as He brings, really, it's amazing how He'll bring His sons and His daughters to actually fight against each other, to destroy and to maim and to kill, as the foes are those of your own household, through false religion. The three unclean spirits, Christianity with a false god, a god that our fathers in the Hebrew did not know, Ishmael, or the Ishmaelites, who adopted Islam, and a god that we did not know, and Judaism, who will neither confirm or acknowledge either one, so that they can keep the distinction of being God's chosen people when they themselves reject that the Father, the Shepherd, had come to rescue the sheep. He was in the world. The world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. Part one, you got my message of how the sons of Abraham have created this smoldering crock of trouble that's brewing. It's like the Japanese nuclear reactor that's bubbling up radiation. We have the same thing in genetic blood as those who oppose each other are gathering for the final battle called Armageddon, coming soon to the Middle East. The final Third World War planned by Satan, the sons of Edom, who owns all the wealth, who controls all the armies and the power, and are in control, at least they think they are. But if you've ever read the prophecies of Daniel 11, we'll get in that tomorrow night, the king of the north and the king of the south, how they clash and how they come together in the last days and how there'll be a great shaking in the land. People will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. I'm sponsored tonight by Brother Paul out of the great state of Michigan. Brother Paul's number is 1-800-253-2748. Appreciate all of my sponsors. Brother Mark in the great state of Mississippi sponsors two nights a week. Brother Bud and Brother Edward, one night a week. Praise Yahweh. Brother Paul, one night a week. I'm so thankful of these men. Dr. Gary, on Sunday night, sponsors us on WWCR around the world. So thankful that we have the voice that we can preach every night, take our time, and go into the table of contents of the prophetic utterance of Yahweh. There is the steps and the process that we've got to take. And that process begins with calling on the name of Yahweh. The key steps for us to find repentance is through baptism and receiving of the Holy Spirit. Christ, the Messiah, known in the Bible as Jesus. His name was changed, and that transformation, when his name was changed, we come into the world calling on a Greek Latin name when it's Hallelujah, spoken from the lips of most of these Christians who claim to be God's chosen people, who are representing the Christian faithful, calling on a false name, deceived, becoming one of those spirits that were seen in the Bible as unclean. Three unclean spirits. We're going to talk about it tomorrow night. You don't want to miss it. Yahweh bless you is my prayer. You can write me tonight by addressing your cards and letters to Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 568 in Sweetwater, Tennessee, 37874. Again, that's Pastor Buddy. That's all you need. Post Office Box 568, Sweetwater, Tennessee, 37874. You can call me. I'm live tonight around the world on WWRB. Call me. Area code 423-351-1082. That's 1082. 423-351-1082. Call us, and we will be sure to take your call. Yahweh willing, if the line's busy, call back. If you'd like to call my cell phone, I give my cell phone out to you. You can go to our website that Brother Bob has done an amazing job on. I'm so thankful for our website. I'm really excited about it. Go to our website. You'll find many articles that I've discussed here tonight about who the sons of Abraham are. It's all written. It's all biblical. It's all prophetic. And we're coming down to the three sons clashing that produced the three religions. Judaism, Islam, and Christianity. All of them clash in the last days. Fooling people, unless you know who the Father is. It says that they shall deceive the very elect. Don't be a victim. My heart goes out to those who are blind, the sons of Ishmael, who die in faith, believing that they're going to get 70 virgins in the world to come. Ladies and gentlemen, it is so sad. Who are those who are deceived, who believe that the Jews are God's chosen people, when in reality, it's the lost sheep that don't know who they are. These are the sons of Yahweh, the sons of Shem. These are the ones that are called and chosen and predestined to have the blessing. We've gone through the world. We've hungered. We've thirsted. We've been in the swine's pen as a prodigal sons. We didn't know him. We went out and spent all of our inheritance that we could have had. We don't know that we're the chosen sons of Joseph. We don't know that we are the blessed. Oh, Israel, if you could open your eyes and see the things that's laid up for you. But we were blind. We couldn't see, we wouldn't hear, and we wouldn't walk in. Today, if you hear his voice, the Bible says, walk in, and you shall find rest for your soul. For no one knows what's laid up for them at love and serving. There is a plan. All of Yahweh's children that are his children, with their names on the Lamb's book, are going to be saved. You're going to be refined. You're going to come through trying times. Yahweh's long-suffering. He's not willing that any should perish, but all would come to repentance and remission of their sins so that they can hear him say, well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you rulers over many. You've been faithful over a few things, and I'll make you rulers. over me. Yahweh is so kind to his people. If you would turn and acknowledge him, and he would say, behold, it is I. And the people who have called upon his name in the last day shall be saved, shall turn from their wicked ways and repent and walk in and find a new life and a new beginning. May Yahweh bless you. I'll see you around the world tomorrow night. WWRB 2.390. I hope you can get it on your shortwave receivers. If you can't, go to the internet. We're with Simon Caston tonight. Just go to WWRB or go to oneyahweh.com. Look on Listen Live. We've got a connection and a link to WWRB with a download. Click on Galaxy One and you'll have Pastor Buddy to listen to. Yahweh bless you.